Welcome to the nationally syndicated In the Oil Patch radio show with Kim Bilotto, broadcasting from the Port of Corpus Christi studios. Get more on the Port of Corpus Christi at portofcc.com. In the Oil Patch radio show will give you an inside look at the oil, gas, and energy industry and how it affects you from industry experts and government officials right here on the In the Oil Patch radio show.
And now it's time for me to welcome on my guest, Angie Gilday, who is the U.S. National Leader for Energy, Natural Resources, and Chemicals for KPMG. Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
So this is your first time on our show, and I'm excited to share a recent report that KPMG released in December 2023, so it's still very fresh, on what's happening in the sector. We hear a lot going on between companies merging and buying, and so there's a lot of movement, and I'm not sure if everyone really understands what's happening. You guys released an amazing report, kind of broke it down, and that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. But first, let me introduce our listeners to you. You have over 20 years of experience. You possess extensive knowledge in guiding global energy companies towards success and growth. Your leadership involves empowering teams to capitalize on emerging opportunities in involving the energy landscape and navigating through the rapid energy transition. You specialize in creating innovative solutions that unlock potential and enhance resilience against industry disruptions. And your responsibilities span in a diverse area to include new business models, growth strategies, and ecosystems. You manage risk, oversee mergers, acquisitions, and lead large-scale system implementations across the energy value chain. And you're deeply connected to companies that leverage technology, data analytics, and profound business insight. You also cultivate high performance, bold innovation, and extraordinary growth. You did not write that, I did, because you're a powerhouse and you're a woman, and I wanted to make sure I covered it. You also hold a responsibility at KPMG for energy natural resources practice, which encompasses oil, gas, power, utilities, chemicals, and the mining sector. You have a BS from Texas A&M in biomedical science. Whew, that was an intro. You're busy.
Well, that's very generous of you. Thank you. In a nutshell, so, energy is my home. I grew up in West Texas, so I was around the energy community and economies there. And then, of course, Texas A&M being such a big engineering school, turning out all kinds of petroleum engineers, even though that wasn't my background. But now I have the pleasure of working with energy companies all over the world. And I love it. And I love helping make them successful. And I love the impact that energy has on our planet.
You know, it's so vital and important. And even though we're not going to really have time to get into all of that, but that is what the show really tries to do, is, you know, tries to inform the general masses to the importance of it. But there's a lot of activity that's been going on, and I want to try to get into that. The report you guys recently released was called Dealmakers Consolidate and Wait. And it was released, I believe, in December 2023. Basically, in the report, it does go into all of these things that we're seeing, the acquiring of ExxonMobil, who acquired Pioneer Natural Resources for $60 billion, and Chevron that acquired Hess for $53 billion. There's also other transactions going on with Occidental Petroleum, an acquisition of Crown Rock for $12 billion. And there's just a lot of activity going on. And then in your report, you also talk about how the Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act also played, these two pieces of legislation, how they're playing a role in pivoting how we're looking at battery storage, solar technologies. And then there's also chemicals that you guys looked at. And we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about power, utilities. This whole report is covering that whole array of it. So without further ado, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about the beginning of this report. What was the major oversight of the titling, Dealmakers Consolidate and Wait?
Yeah, Kim, I think this notion around consolidation and then waiting perfectly sums up the report. If you think about the activity that happened in 2023, it was actually relatively a pretty quiet year. You know, we've got the economy and interest rates where they are. We've got some uncertainty around the future and the path and geopolitical challenges. And so if you look at deal volume compared to previous years, there were lower number of deals. But really that last half of the year, and some of the deals you mentioned with Exxon and Pioneer and Chevron and Hess really catapulted the activity from a dollar standpoint. And that was an aspect around the consolidation. And so what we saw in the last half, and by the way, between Exxon buying Pioneer, Chevron, Hess, Oxy and Crown Rock, that was over $120 billion. Of activity. So 93% of the total dollar value was around those deals. And that was really an aspect of consolidation. And, you know, some of that is because of what's happening in onshore around our available inventory. And I'm happy to go into that in more detail. But then we had the waiting game as well. So there's a lot of PE backed and smaller companies kind of on the sidelines waiting to see what happens. And, you know, in chemicals, for instance, chemical sector, as you mentioned, is in a recession. So they're in a bit of a waiting game. So you've got this really true balance around consolidation. And then you see others in a waiting game.
So in this report, some of the things that I noticed, maybe you can't really put a time window on, and I want to try to get into that too, is you do talk about chemicals a little bit in the timeline in the third quarter, fourth quarter of why y'all are making that assessment. But I guess my question would be is, if it's a consolidation but wait type of game for investors, but yet we see a lot of activity in the report. Something that I found very interesting is that it was also very much we're leading to, well, I don't want to give that away. That's towards the end of the report. Let's skip over that. Let's start with the big overview, the majors. What are some of the trends that you guys are seeing when it comes down to specifically energy, natural resources, chemical, relating to the majors? What we saw a lot of activity, but in your report, you kind of break down some strategic assets.
Yeah.
Can you go over that with us?
Yeah, let's start with oil and gas upstream. One of the big things that is occurring right now is that U.S. shale, if you look at onshore U.S. available inventory of where we can access the reserves, U.S. shale has about 6 years, only 6 years of remaining high quality inventory left. And that's if you assume, an average of $45 a barrel oil, but for less than 6 years of high quality inventory. So the inventory availability is really shrinking. And 70% of that available inventory is in the Permian. And so what you're seeing happen is, you know, companies are now starting to go out and grab high quality assets that they can put into their inventory to sustain their future growth. We're going to have a need for hydrocarbons and oil and gas for decades to come. And the companies need a good, healthy set of inventory that they can grow on. So that's part of the consolidation that's happening first, is the big guys are going out there and buying some high quality assets. Now, the Chevron Hess acquisition, a lot of that was Guyana, which is offshore international, and we can certainly come back to that. But that inventory consolidation really in the U.S. basins is a big thing. What we'll start to then see after the bigger guys start acquiring is the mid-market companies starting to merge. And you're starting to see some of that now. So I think this trend around consolidation in the U.S. onshore is something that's going to continue for some time to come.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Guyana because there's also a little bit of headway going on with Guyana that I read a report specifically looking at Chevron and ExxonMobil. I know ExxonMobil is already out there in Guyana. A friend of mine is out there, and it's a hotbed. Can you give us an update on why is Guyana so attractive?
Yeah. So just for your listeners who may not be aware, so Guyana is in South America. It borders Venezuela, Suriname, and a bit of Brazil. So that's where it's at. It is a country of approximately 800,000 people. And Exxon entered back in 2008, I believe, in exploration. They drilled their first well in exploration well in 2015. And they announced a major find in Guyana. It's a once in a generation find, 11 billion barrels of oil mm-hmm. off the coast of Guyana. And that find is going to completely transform that small country of Guyana. They will become in the next 10 or 15 years, likely to become the fourth largest oil producer in the world from an offshore basis. So this small country, and with Exxon's find and then some of the partners that were in Hess, and now Chevron's acquired some of that stake as well, as there's others. But that's going to really be a huge source of reserves for us as, you know, globally our demand continues to climb.
You know, Angie, our show is really built around a lot trying to explain energy, but a lot of it is very common sense. And when you mentioned that this is really going to change the country of Guyana, when I look at it and I think that there really aren't any countries that don't have access to reliable energy, they're energy poverty. They are not doing well. And so this has the ability to change this country and their people, their way of living. That also is a good thing to consider, the find that they've had. So just wanted to point that out to the listeners because, you know, countries that don't have access to an abundance of energy don't do well either economically. So that was the point. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we return, Angie, I want to get on chemicals because it was a big statement. We want to explain what is happening with the chemical industry as well. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Attention small and medium-sized business owners. Are you feeling overwhelmed with back-office tasks like payroll, workers' compensation, federal regulations, safety laws, employment standards, and benefits? Don't worry, Unique HR has your back. For over 30 years, our team of qualified professionals has been providing people-centered solutions to help businesses like yours navigate the heavy burden of running a business and managing their workforce. We're the PEO with a pulse, and we are just a phone call away. Call us today at 361-852-6392. Unique HR, the partner you can trust.
And we're back. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. My guest today is Angie Gilday, who is with KPMG, U.S. National Sector Leader for Energy, Natural Resources, and Chemicals. Angie, before the break, we were covering the report that KPMG released back in 2023, December 2023, and it basically was discussing all the different areas between up, mid, and down, and where they are in 2023. And you covered chemicals in the report as well. The chemical industry in the report is facing some challenges. Tell me what challenges they're facing as they move into 2024.
This has been a challenging year for the chemical sector. You know, back in 2021, their activity and volume was pretty significant. And over the past couple of years, 2022 and then 2023 was even lower in terms of their deal activity. And they've had some challenges because, one, of just high interest rates and cost of capital. We've got some global conflicts. We've had some challenges around the feedstock costs have continued to increase. And so many deals have been focused really on carve-outs or limited private equity activity. Chemicals is really faced right now with optimizing their cost and having that capital discipline and cost optimization rather than buying companies, bringing them together, carve outs, et cetera. So KIMS is focused right now on cost optimization, primarily because of the cost challenges. And we hope to see an increase in that activity in 2024 as the market, you know, continues to loosen from a interest rates and credit perspective.
When does KPMG see the recession of the chemical industry kind of lightening? And are there specific chemicals, when you say that the petrochemical, it's large. So I think I read in the report there are specific ones that are doing worse than others.
Yes. We've seen that paintings, coatings, adhesives, that's been the most robust growth for the chemicals deals this quarter. And that's primarily because some of the companies, you know, specializing in those particular chemicals, they're trying to expand into new markets or, you know, grow their production capabilities. But that's where the biggest growth has been this past quarter for chemicals.
What about, so you're saying they're facing a recession in the report. Do you have a time window or timeline when they start seeing the light of day, when things start lightening up in this?
Well, we're optimistic the second half of 2024, things really, really pick up.
And what about the power, utility, renewable industries? So the report really does discuss, we all remember the Inflation Reduction Act, the Infrastructure Investment and Job Acts, they actually did spur investment in the renewables, specifically in areas that we want to try to go to greener technologies, the transformation that we're doing in the energy sector, solar, wind, and other. Yeah. So tell me about what the report reflects when we look at power and utility companies.
So I'll talk about power utilities, and then I'll touch on the renewables since you mentioned that. But power utilities, what we've seen is we've seen a number of deals. Investors are asking power utilities to carve out some of their non-core assets. So we've seen some sale of assets from the utilities. We're also seeing utilities sell some of them, particularly the non-regulated utilities, selling some of their assets in order to raise capital so that they can fund their energy transition programs. And by that, I mean, if you think about everything that has to happen with the electrical grid, as we have increased EVs, as there's more wind and solar coming online, there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done to modernize the grid. You've got to bury power lines, you've got to do interconnects. And so power utility companies need capital in order to do that. You can't always just raise people's electrical rates, right? And so part of the activity that we've seen, a good chunk of it, has been selling some of these non-core assets really to raise capital so that they can fund other activities related to the modernization of the grid.
And also, though, you said we're going to talk about solar and wind, because I think in the Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Investment Job Act, there was a lot of activity or they were trying to spur investments for renewables and the solar. Can you get into that as well?
Yeah, the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA or the IIJA has been an incredible tool to incentivize investments in some of these renewable and alternative energies, not just solar and wind, but things like battery storage, carbon capture, hydrogen, those type of activities. And as I travel over the world and talk with various clients or at various industry events, you know, really the U.S. is the envy of the world in terms of how we've managed to set up this incentive structure to incentivize investment. And so we've seen a lot of capital and investments go to renewables because you can get these tax incentives related to the IRA and the IIJA.
Well, let's take a break. When we get back, I want to drill down a little bit more before we you know, start looking at closing it out? What is the energy sector looking or can look forward to here in 2024? I want to come back and drill down into a little bit more of the majors and what you're seeing and highlight some of the deals that are going on there. But we got to take a quick break. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
The Texas Oil and Gas Association Safety Group is your pipeline to discounts, dividends, and industry expertise. It's a value-added benefit from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading workers' comp provider. At Texas Mutual, they know the oil and gas industry, which means you'll have access to expert resources and information that make your business better. As a Safety Group member, you'll also save about 12% on your workers' comp premium, and that's just the beginning. While Texas Mutual policyholders can earn an annual dividend for keeping their workers safe, Safety Group members can get something even better, a second dividend. That's up to two dividends every year. Plus, you'll get service-focused coverage from Texas Mutual, a workers' comp partner you know and trust. The Texas Oil and Gas Association Safety Group is tailor-made for your business. Talk to your agent or learn more at texasmutual.com/TXOGA. Dividends are based on performance and not guaranteed.
Any business can benefit from advertising to the oil and gas industry, but it's really important to partner with a marketing company that has a proven track record with this growing industry. Shale Oil and Gas Business Magazine is the one-stop shop that'll keep you in front of the customers that you need to grow your business. So let's start growing your business in Texas. Email us, info@shalemag.com. Again, that's info@shalemag.com. Or you can call us, 210-240-7188. Again, that's 210-240-7188.
And we're back. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. My guest today is Angie Gilday, who is with KPMG. She is the U.S. national leader, sector leader for energy, natural resources, and chemicals. Angie, before the break, you all released a report late 2023, KPMG. And of course, it was titled Dealmakers Consolidate and Wait. It's pretty much the trends of what you're seeing in the energy and natural resource sector along with chemicals. So I want to try to drill down into the majors because we have seen a lot of activity going on, but yet in the report towards the end of it, it says it's been kind of a flat year, which we're going to get into that. But I want to drill down into really the oil and gas majors because we're hearing all these acquisitions. And I think perception-wise, I think the perception is, wow, what is happening? But nothing really is happening more unusual, and it's actually been flat, correct? And can you give us some examples between like ExxonMobil buying Pioneer Natural Resources? Give us some of the things that are happening out there, the changes. What do you guys feel? Will we continue to see this trend in more acquisitions?
Yeah, the number of deals have been flat, but obviously the dollar value has increased. One of the things that has happened is that coming out of the past couple of years where the industry has enjoyed higher commodity prices, typically what you would see in historical times is you would see the higher prices and it would spur a ton of deal activity. And you would see companies going out and buying, you know, and consolidating using that capital. Post-COVID, investors really sent a message to energy companies and said, we don't want you necessarily to do that. We want you to focus on capital discipline. And so that's what a lot of the companies have been doing. They've been focusing on paying down their debt, becoming much more capital operational resilient, and really being strong stewards of that capital. So they've been sitting on, you know, these dollars, free cash flow, from the higher energy prices. Because of what's happening in terms of, and you've had the energy transition kind of come on top of that and raise some questions in terms of a company's strategy, in terms of where they're going to focus. So as those strategies have evolved, and as the inventory in onshore continues to decline, now you're seeing the majors really making some big plays. The other thing that was holding back some of the capital this past year was the volatility of the markets. It's very hard if you're a buyer and you're a seller to agree on what a price is when the market is so volatile. And so that's the other reason that deal numbers were, you know, quite flat, is because there was so much volatility, you couldn't really agree on a price between the valuation between the buyer and seller. And so now that we're kind of coming out of that, you're seeing the majors make the big plays and of consolidation. And they're doing that for a couple of reasons. They're doing it to get scale so that they can continue to be much more capital efficient. They're doing it in an aspect because they've got healthy balance sheets on both sides. No one's really distressed. You've got a willingness to do all stock transactions on these deals. And so you're not necessarily having to go out into the debt market and raise a lot of debt for these deals. So that's why you're seeing some of the majors and these larger companies coming together. You're also seeing them come together because by combining, there's a lot of synergies. They're buying companies in the same basins that they've already got, you know, strong activities. So by buying these, merging these companies together, they're able to continue that theme around capital discipline, operational efficiencies, and drive greater scale. So that's what's happening. Where you're not seeing a lot of the activity, and it's causing it to be rather flat, is in the PE side of the business. Yeah, and the PE side of, yeah, the private equity. So those businesses, first of all, have gotten their costs under control. They're, you know, generating cash. And so they're good businesses for private equity. We've also seen the market aspect and deal transactions across all industries has slowed. So you see the PE kind of waiting on the sidelines. So they're waiting for overall the economy and the markets to increase in opportunity for them. And then they'll take perhaps their companies out to market to see if they can get the price that they want for that. If they can't, they'll continue just to operate those companies and those assets in general. The final thing that is driving some of this is some of the historical investors within energy and oil and gas have pivoted some of their investments using the IRA and the IIJA that we mentioned. They've pivoted their energy investments into some of these alternative energies. So that's taken some of the activity and the deal flow out of traditional oil and gas.
Right. And you do see that in the majority of the operators are diversifying. And I think that also looks good aesthetically. It calms people down that they're trying to move in a greener way, lowering their carbon footprint. It's just smarter to be doing that, especially if the money is in there from our legislators and these different acts. Angie, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. My guest today is Angie Gilday, who is with KPMG, the U.S. national sector leader for energy, natural gas, and chemicals. Angie, we thank you for bringing us up to date on what the majors in the oil and gas producers are dealing with and how they're handling the changes. Let's come back to chemicals, because in your report, you're specifically, you know, talking about paints, coating, adhesives. But in my mind, when I think about chemicals, I'm thinking plastics, and I'm thinking activity that's going on in Beaumont and in Port Arthur and in even Corpus Christi and all different places where there are more into the energy sphere that we also deal with. How are they doing? What's the activity going on with those different chemicals companies?
Sure, yeah, the paints, coatings, and adhesives is really where the most robust level of activity has been from an M&A standpoint as it relates to the petrochemicals side. It's been slow. Now, that doesn't mean that there's been slow activity across the board. I think there's a lot of activity that's going on in the petrochem space. I mean, driving through the Gulf Coast and places like Beaumont and Port Arthur, there's a lot of capital build out that's happening with those companies. And so a lot of their focus is really around executing some of these capital projects internally versus looking to make acquisitions or divestments there. They're really focused on, you know, operating efficiently, but also ensuring that they come in on time, on budget with some of these big capital programs.
Makes sense. Thank you for saying that, because I know I'll get questions like, wait, is something going to happen over there? We've got a lot of investment going on. No.
Lots of investment in the, you know, LNG export facilities being built. So that's even, you know, more activity in that Gulf Coast region. So it's buzzing. It's buzzing with the activity. They're just not necessarily buying or selling, you know, certain parts of their assets. It's that part is in slumber, but the rest of it is, you know, full on activity.
In your report, KPMG's report, you all do a deep dive assessing the current state of energy transition. And this is why I wanted to save the best for the last. Let's do the deep dive into what you all are assessing is the current state of energy transition. Mergers, acquisition, activity in the oil and gas sector. Let's start with, so despite the increase of public support for renewables, it's becoming clear that hydrocarbons are indispensable. And I sure wish that people would understand that. You said that earlier in the show, for decades to come. This report is I'm reading off of your report this. While many industry leaders, policymakers, consumers, and stakeholders are embracing alternative energy resources, they're also recognizing the need for balance to broaden the energy solution and to meet long and short-term energy demands. So talk to me about the report. What are you guys trying to say? What is the current state of energy transition?
Yeah, so this is not an either or conversation between renewables or hydrocarbons. It's a balance of both. And the way that this energy transition will play out and evolve is going to be different across different regions. The U.S. is going to have a very different approach than Europe or countries in Africa. So that being said, hydrocarbons right now make up approximately 82% of the energy system. 20 years ago, it was about 84%. So that number is high, and it's going to be high for decades to come. Having said that, there is a substantial growth in renewables in the market. Last year, the global investment in renewables surpassed the global investment in fossil fuels. So this area is rising quite dramatically. The areas where we're seeing the most involvement is around areas like solar and wind, because those costs have come down over the years, and that's something that's can be economical to roll out. The IRA and the IIJA provided some additional incentives around that, but also incentives for things like hydrogen and carbon capture that we have really seen an increase in investment there. And so you're also seeing, as it relates to hydrogen particularly, you're also seeing the midstream sector of the business, like the pipelines, start to look at how do they retrofit some of their pipe to capture the hydrogen or ammonia CO2 within their pipe. So it's an area that's going to continue to grow, and it should grow. I mean, there is enough there's enough opportunity around energy demand where it's going to take all forms to meet our future demand.
And I know this report that you guys released, it looks specifically at more up and then chemicals. And I know this really isn't up your alley, but is there, you know, we're seeing a lot of activity in the midstream as well, in M&As too, or we're starting to see them. There's been a few, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on, do you think we'll continue to see more in the midstream too? Not that this is in that report, and no, it's not in your area, but maybe you want to comment on it.
Yeah, I do. I think one of the challenges and opportunities, let's pitch it that way, from a midstream standpoint, is because of the increased regulatory pressure on permitting and getting new assets in the ground from a midstream perspective. Because of that, the assets that are in the ground are valuable. And so we're seeing a number of deals going on in the midstream. The companies are using their excess free cash to make some acquisitions, and they're have the reduced need to build out the greenfield projects that they had been focused on in previous years. So you're seeing companies like Enterprise making acquisitions, or Targa, that are strong players in the Permian, and they're trying to drive additional volume growth through things like the integrated NGL business. So that's an area where we're seeing play. We're seeing the One Oak Magellan deal. That was a significant deal going on. So I think we'll continue to see, similar to the upstream, mergers happen as these companies try to gain scale and take advantage of that, the growing export market that we're going to see from the LNG.
Very good. In our last segment coming up, in your report, you discuss the state of the energy transition when it comes to the fork in the road. Take it. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Attention small and medium-sized business owners. Are you feeling overwhelmed with back-office tasks like payroll, workers' compensation, federal regulations, safety laws, employment standards, and benefits? Don't worry. Unique HR has your back. For over 30 years, our team of qualified professionals has been providing people-centered solutions to help businesses like yours navigate the heavy burden of running a business and managing their workforce. We're the PEO with a pulse, and we are just a phone call away. Call us today at 361-852-6392. Unique HR, the partner you can trust.
And we're back. You're listening to In the Oil Patch Radio Show. My guest today is Angie Gilday, who is the U.S. National Sector Leader for Energy, Natural Resources, and Chemicals. Angie, kudos on this report. It's concise. I encourage our listeners to go KPMG, find it. Great report. It goes into detail. It's got graphs. It makes a lot of sense. It's broken down. It's very well put together and written. The deep dive is assessing the current state of energy transition. And in the end of it, it says, when it comes to the fork of the road, take it. Tell me what that means in this report.
The future, as the future plays out, related to our growing demand for energy combined with the need to generate more clean, sustainable type of energy. Companies are really coming to a crossroads. Do they continue on their historical path, focusing on a core set of assets and products, or do they look to see how they can perhaps diversify their strategy and be able to capture some of the opportunities in the energy future? It's not, as I said, an either or. It's a matter of both. But the strategy for the company is going to be different for every company. And it's different for a company that is based and is primarily focused here in the U.S. is it's different for a company, super major that may be based in Europe. And so really, I think the call to action for all leaders is if they haven't really formalized their strategy, if they haven't taken action to look at lowering their carbon emissions, their carbon footprint, they need to do so. The market's going to demand it. The customers are going to demand it. And they need to pick a strategy. They need to make some plays. And now is the time to do that because, you know, many of their competitors are doing so.
Right. And, you know, that's really profound to think that I think we see it in all these very responsible operators. They are making some kind of a transition or trying to lower their carbon footprint, try to achieve a net zero emission. They're targeting it. They're aware of it. I don't see any real company not looking at diversification. And if there are, I just kind of think that there's probably going to be headaches ahead for them. So I don't see that. But I want to switch gears now because we're coming up to the end of the show. Great report. Everybody needs to go read it to get a better understanding of what's happening in the private equity and the mergers acquisition. What other reports are KPMG working on? Or for our listeners, what guidance, what are you guys watching? Or what reports are you trying to report on for us? Can you give us an update or tell us what y'all are getting ready to produce?
Sure. So we produce these reports on a quarterly basis. So the next report for the first quarter of 2024 will be coming out within the next few months. The big thing that we have our eye on within KPMG is the SEC has announced that they will make a final ruling around climate disclosure, and that will be next week. So that will be big news for listeners to pay attention to, is what are going to be the reporting requirements that the SEC has around climate disclosure. I anticipate we'll have a lot of questions from our clients around that. The second thing we're watching is 2024 is an election year. And so the implications on policy related to the IRA and the IIJA is something we'll need to watch. I'm not going to make a prediction from a political standpoint, but I will say that those policies have benefited red states and blue states. So there are things that both Democrats and Republicans can benefit from the IRA and the IIJA, and we'll have to see how those policies play out over time. So those are the two, you know, really substantial things that we're watching. And then finally, from an energy standpoint, energy and geopolitics go hand in hand. So certainly some of what happens geopolitically throughout the rest of the world as it relates to prices is certainly something we're keeping an eye on.
And, you know, I want to also go back and give you an opportunity to, you know, I just assume because we deal with KPMG that everybody knows, they do know KPMG, but in this area, what are you, KPMG in the energy sector, what are you guys known for as far as, are you focusing on financials, audits, M&As? I know you cover a lot. Can you go over what KPMG covers in the energy sphere?
Sure, absolutely. We bring the holistic solution to clients. So whether it's, you know, from an audit space and helping clients to be their external auditor, we can provide that service. We have a tax side of the business that provides tax services to our clients. And then we have an advisory side of the business that provides deal advisory as it relates to transactions, M&A. And a consulting side of the business. If companies are looking to implement digital technology, if they're looking to implement a transformational strategy, those type of activities we help as well.
Very good. Angie, thank you so much for joining me. We haven't had KPMG on the show in a while, so I'm glad you came to talk to us. And your next report will be reaching out, try to bring you back on to cover that with us and detail what's going on. Again, thank you for being a guest on In the Oil Patch Radio Show, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you, Kim.
In the Oil Patch is where, together, we explore topics that affect us all in oil, gas, business, and in your community. Every week, your host, Kim Bellotto, will visit with the movers and shakers in this fast-paced industry. You'll hear from industry experts, elected officials, and many more right here on In the Oil Patch.
The Texas Oil and Gas Association Safety Group is your pipeline to discounts, dividends, and industry expertise. It's a value-added benefit from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading workers' comp provider. At Texas Mutual, they know the oil and gas industry, which means you'll have access to expert resources and information that make your business better. As a Safety Group member, you'll also save about 12% on your workers' comp premium, and that's just the beginning. While Texas Mutual policyholders can earn an annual dividend for keeping their workers safe, Safety Group members can get something even better, a second dividend. That's up to two dividends every year. Plus, you'll get service-focused coverage from Texas Mutual, a workers' comp partner you know and trust. The Texas Oil and Gas Association Safety Group is tailor-made for your business. Talk to your agent or learn more at texasmutual.com/TXOGA. Dividends are based on performance and not guaranteed.
Shale Oil and Gas Business Magazine provides services like print advertising and digital marketing. Our digital advertising services include website, email, radio, video, and social media. Shale also provides specialized web services from website management to search engine optimization and social media management. Visit our website, shalemag.com. Once again, that's Shale, S-H-A-L-E, mag, M-A-G.com to learn more. Shale is your one-stop shop for growing your business. Pick up the phone today and call 210-240-7188. Again, 210-240-7188.